was visiting at the Nimayin Thai Center in Georgetown. I had forgotten, but Prabhupada Day reminded me that the last time I was in Guyana in July was in 2001, when the same temple was opened and the the president of Guyana came and attended the function, and I was in Guyana for that function. So that's for 12 years. That helps me with the math. For 12 years, I've been visiting annually here in Guyana, and it's the first time I've been to a Rathiatra in Esquibo. And I thought I would speak something for the benefit of all of you, because so that the audience is a little mixed. There are some of you that are very, very senior members of ISKCON, and on the other end, there are some persons that are very new. So I'll give a little history of ISKCON Rathiatra, and I'll go back a little bit further in the first Rathiatra. I mentioned it in the morning class. In our on the Vyasa Sandak here is our founder Acharya, a Murti of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who came to the West on the order of his spiritual master, with a very singular purpose, to bring the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam to the English-speaking parts of the world. So at the age of 70, think of somebody that you know that's 70, and think of that somebody getting on a cargo boat, boarding in Calcutta, going all around India, then stopping in Bombay, and going to the Suez Canal through the Mediterranean and across the Atlantic Ocean. He had two heart attacks on that journey. The second one, he wrote in his diary that if there is another attack, I'm sure I will not live. I'll not survive. And during that journey, he had a dream. And in the dream, Krishna appeared and instructed him, "Carry on. I will protect you." And he did. And Prabhupada began the Hare Krishna movement in New York City. Wonderful series of challenges that Prabhupada met during that first year, but eventually some traction, some persons interested in the message of pure devotion to Krishna came forward. And they were young Americans. During the mid-60s, 1966, he just observed the 47th anniversary of the formation of ISKCON. Some of those devotees in New York made some friendships in San Francisco, and Prabhupada traveled to San Francisco to establish another center. First it was, they had a major program, a public program. Some very popular musicians invited Prabhupada to come and join them and sing Hare Krishna at a concert. So Prabhupada went. And while he was in San Francisco, they had a little import store. You have those here in Guyana, right? A little store that they just import things from other countries and people go to buy imported goods. So one devotee was Ismalati Mataji. She found little figurines that looked like maybe they were from India. She didn't know. So she bought them and brought them and showed them to Prabhupada and said, is this from India? It's seeing this deity is a little Jagannath deity. Prabhupada immediately got down on the floor and paid his obeisances to Lord Jagannath and started describing in his childhood. Prabhupada grew up in Calcutta, and many people from Calcutta go once a year to Jagannath Puri in the month of July. Is the annual Jagannath Rath Yatra festival. Now you can watch it on television. It's still today the largest single attended event in the world in one day. More people come to Jagannath Rath Yatra than any other event in the world. So Prabhupada's father took him to Jagannath Rath Yatra, and he appreciated the event so much, when he went back home, he asked his father, can we do this festival in Calcutta? And his father was a Vaishnava, a devotee of Krishna. So his father was very happy to hear a little boy wanting to have Rath Yatra. So he arranged a little miniature Rath Yatra cart, one he could pull, like, you know, on a wagon, and little Jagannath deities. And his mother made lots of prasadam, offered to Jagannath, and Prabhupada with his little friends, they went around the block in Calcutta and had a little miniature Rath Yatra. And it became an annual event. Little boy, as he grew up, every year, same little cart, same Lord Jagannath, same Krishna, or Jagannath Prasad, but it became part of his life as a young boy. And as circumstances unfolded in his life, he became a householder. He had several children. In the course of his children growing up, he turned the business that he had created over to his children to run, and he went to Vrindavan to live peacefully in a life of devotion to Krishna. In time he took sannyas, he traveled to the west and the order of his spiritual master. Now he describes, this same Lord Jagannath, I would like to see a Jagannath Rath Yatra festival right here in San Francisco. So, in those days, when Prabhupada said he wanted something, that's all it took. We were to figure out how to do it. So, Malati's husband, named Shamasundar, was something of an artist. So Prabhupada gave him the service of, from a piece of wood, carving Lord Jagannath. He had never carved anything before. But he went out and went to a lumber yard and got three pieces of wood and carved Lord Jagannath, twice as big as the Jagannath here. And then another devotee named Jayananda told him, you build the cart. And Jayananda got his team together, and it took him a month and a half. They got railroad ties for free to make the limbs of the cart. And three huge carts, five stories tall, where they could wind it up, and if necessary to go under wires, they could lower the canopy and raise the canopy. And Prabhupada described the colors that the canopy should be and the decorations at the side of the cart. And everybody got into it, and they got a permit for having a parade through Golden Gate Park, a very popular park for young people in San Francisco, and a huge festival. There's videos of that first original Rath Yatra festival. Tens of thousands of people came, and they served prasadam for all the people that came. And it was a huge success. So then Prabhupada said, this is very good. You should hold it in San Francisco every year. And our major centers, they should also have a Rath Yatra. Jayananda, go to New York and build a cart in New York. Somebody build a cart in London. Someone build a cart in Bombay. Somebody build a cart in Melbourne, Australia. all around the world. Immediately Prabhupada wanted Rathyatra festivals all around the world. And in the course of time, sure enough, all around the world. You know, like in the southern hemisphere, when it's summer here, it's winter there, and when it's vice versa. So we have our Rathyatras in America in June, July, and August. Today is the same Rathyatra day as in Los Angeles. But our Rathyatra happens in New York in June, the second weekend of June, and then the third weekend of June, the fourth weekend of June, and then Washington, D.C., the 4th of July, and every weekend, every weekend, every weekend, every weekend, every weekend. And then it's winter in Southern Hemisphere, so then they have theirs in January and February, March. That's fantastic. You can just, this is my fourth Rathyatra this year. Just travel and go to so many different Rathyatras. It was Prabhupada's wish that Lord Jagannath would give his mercy to all, because it is understood that Lord Jagannath is very merciful. Lord Jagannath is very merciful, and as you see on the altar on the left, deities of Gornatai also, they're also very merciful. Very merciful. And the distribution of prasadam and seeing the smiling face of Lord Jagannath, it's described in Nectar of Devotion or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in Sanskrit, that there's one verse from the scripture that says that those who see the procession of Lord Jagannath at his Rathyatra, who stand and appreciate the splendor of the Rathyatra festival, there's so much mercy that accrues to those who participate in that way, they become eligible to be residents of Vaikuntha with four arms. One becomes freed from material interest. The potency is there. It's not an exaggeration. The potency is there to free one from material existence. The mercy of Lord Jagannath is so great. And our founder Acharya wanted that mercy of Lord Jagannath to be distributed to one and all. Now I'll assume that most, if not all of you, maybe there's some exceptions, but most of you come from a Hindu background of some kind or another. And so you've seen deities before. I'll just share a little bit, because I didn't come from that background. The first deities that I saw, well, I attended a university in New York State. And there was a center at that same university where I was attending, and they had deities of Lord Jagannath. And, you know, for someone that has never seen deity before, to see Lord Jagannath, you know, how do you relate to Lord Jagannath? And then when I was looking to attend graduate school, I went to Boston, because there are many universities in Boston. And I visited the Boston Temple. And after the wonderful aarti and the evening class at the Boston Temple, one receptionist actually just pulled me to the side and said, "Maybe you're wondering, what is this? But in time, you'll ask yourself a different question. Who is this? Because Lord Jagannath is Krishna. And I promised this morning that I would narrate the story behind the form of Lord Jagannath. So I'm going to do that now. It's from Skanda Purana. It's a very, very long section describing the carving of Lord Jagannath. It's a long story. Well, very, like, many, 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 many chapters of description. But when the carver was carving the deity, there was a promise that the carver asked of the king. The king's name was Indradumna. He said, just allow me the necessary time to complete the carving. Please don't enter. Because if you enter, then I'll stop. So the king said, no problem. Complete the carving. And he could hear there was a construction site created, and like a covering area around the construction site. And day by day, we can hear the carving, tap, 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 and carving. And then after some number of days, the sound stopped. And the king was anxious. Maybe the carver went away. Maybe the carving isn't completed yet. So, although he promised he wouldn't enter, he entered. And when he entered the carving area, the carver was gone, and he saw, unpainted, the form of Lord Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra like to see. And he thought, oh no, I violated what I promised to the carpenter. And now the deities are not finished. What an offender. I've made this big offense. Narada Muni was with him. And Narada Muni said, no, 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 you haven't made an offense. This is how the deity is supposed to look. Let me tell you how it is so. And he narrated the following story. Listen carefully. After Krishna took his birth in Mathura, he was transferred to the other side of the river Jamuna by Vasudeva and placed by the side of Mother Yashoda. And the female child by the side of Mother Yashoda was taken back on the other side of the river Jamuna, placed by the side of Devaki. And comes to try to kill that female child, thinks this is the eighth son of Devaki who was prophesied to kill him. It wasn't, it was a daughter. And he was unable to kill the child because this was the internal potency, Yogamaya. You can't kill Yogamaya. But meanwhile, Krishna's over in Gokul, where he stayed for some few years. Too many demons were sent. Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men, they decided, let's go back to our original place in Nandagram. So they went to Nandagram. Took all their belongings on bullock carts and went to Nandagram. There Krishna lived until he was 12 years in 6 months. Then he went to Mathura. An invitation of Kamsa, Akrura, took him to Mathura. And there Krishna stayed for some time in Mathura. He had promised the gopis he would come back tomorrow or the next day. And then he sent this nice letter through Uddhava to the gopis, promising them, very soon I will come. As you're experiencing separation from me, I also cannot live without you. Please trust my word. I will come again and be with you. After some time, Krishna went to Dwaraka. And all the time that he's in Dwaraka, with 16,108 palaces and queens, all the while, he's feeling intense love and separation in that love for the residents of Vrindavan. Listen carefully. The residents of Dwaraka, they could understand. Krishna has such love for the residents of Vrindavan. What's it like? Why is it that he has such love for the residents of Vrindavan? They didn't have the answer. But they thought, there's one who lives with us here in Dwaraka who also lived with Krishna in Vrindavan. And who was that? Rohini. Who is Rohini? Rohini is the mother of Balaram. So when Krishna and Balaram were in Vrindavan, Rohini was in Vrindavan with them. And then when Krishna went to Dwarka, Rohini went to Dwarka. So they approached Rohini and said, Rohini, can you describe what it's like in Vrindavan? Why is it that Krishna has such feelings of love for the residents of Vrindavan? What is it about them? Rohini said, yes, I'll be glad to describe the residents of Vrindavan. But, there's always a but, right? But, if I begin to narrate about Vrindavan, Krishna will know. And Krishna will want to come. And when Krishna comes, I won't be able to continue describing about Vrindavan. That's the difficulty. Krishna's sister, Subhadra, she said, don't worry, I'm Krishna's sister, I'll stand in the doorway, and I won't let Krishna in. And they said, that's very good, you stand right in the doorway, don't let Krishna in. So, Rohini began describing about Krishna's loving dealings with the associates of Vrindavan. Krishna and Balaram were in a distant place, but Krishna is omniscient. So he knew. Rohini is talking about Vrindavan. So he quickly, with Balaram, came at once. And he stood, Krishna on this side, Balaram on this side, and Subhadra in the middle. And the narration was so ecstatic that Krishna's eyes got very big and his smile got very big and his limbs became stunned, standing erect like this. And Narada was in the audience hearing Devaki speaking about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, and he turned and he saw this wonderful form of Krishna, Balaram, and Subhadra, and said, I long to see that deity form of you so the whole world can appreciate how much love Krishna has for the residents of Vrindavan. So he narrated that to King Indradyumna and said, this is not an unfinished deity, this is Krishna in this mood of ecstatic separation from Vrindavan. There are the holy places in India, they're eternal. Eternal means when this world is annihilated, those spiritual abodes are not. Then again, creation comes, and they don't come into being, they're already in being. And if we go there today, to Vrindavan, or to Dwarka, or to Jagannath Puri, very famous places, we'll see a covering, just like oil covers water. You don't see the water, you see the oil on the surface of the water, but just beneath the surface of the oil, there's water. Similarly, when we go to Puri, or Dwarka, or Vrindavan, we'll see the covering. But beneath the covering is the eternal abode of the Supreme Lord. And the mood in Jagannath Puri, it's called in the scriptures, Purushottama Kshetra. Kshetra, like Kurukshetra. Kshetra means place. And the place of Purusha Uttama, the Supreme Lord. He's also known as Purushottama in Dwarka. In Dwarka is the place of opulence. Krishna is exhibiting all of his transcendental opulences the fullness of his opulences as found in Vaikuntha, in Dwaraka. Now I'm going to describe Puri. Those same opulences, the opulence with which Jagannath is worshipped, knows no limit. Very, very, very opulent worship. But there's a difference of mood. And the mood of the worship in Puri is the worship of Krishna hankering for the association of the residents of Vrindavan. This is the deity form of Lord Jagannath. Krishna exhibiting his mood of hankering for the association of the residents of Vrindavan. He experiences that in Dwaraka, but he conceals it. In Puri, he discloses it. And it is said, just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, those of you that are new, you don't know who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His deity form is on the left side, but he is Krishna himself who's teaching how to surrender fully and devote oneself fully to Krishna. Just like Krishna teaches in Bhagavad Gita. All of you know Bhagavad Gita. So the last instruction that Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita is Sarva dharmam parityaja mamekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yishyami ma tuchaha. Krishna teaches to Arjuna and to us, all varieties of dharma are subordinate to one principle. Mam ekam sharanam. Surrender unto Krishna. That is the ultimate teaching of Krishna. All other things, they're good. They help one come to this ultimate position, and attaining the ultimate position, the others are achieved. Surrender unto Krishna. Lord Chaitanya came to teach how to surrender unto Krishna. Who can teach better than God? So he came himself to teach how to. And he taught how to in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, because they know best how to. And by accepting their mood, he experienced their happiness also. It's a very deep subject. So Lord Chaitanya made his residence in Jagannath Puri. And we can also, by worship of Lord Jagannath, just as you see a small Jagannath deities on the altar here on the right, just so as over here. So if in your home, or those families who in their home worship Lord Jagannath, as Lord Chaitanya worshiped Lord Jagannath, it gives one access to that mood of Krishna, of hankering for the association of the residents of Vrindavan. This is what our acharyas are teaching us. So, on one level, Rath Yatra festival is very nice. Nice kirtan for hours, prasadam distribution. Nice kirtan on the stage and some discussion of Krishna Katha and nice festival. That's one level. Remembering Krishna festivals. But there's a deeper meaning. Even if one doesn't understand it initially, there's special potency in this Jagannath Rath Yatra festival to attract us to come to that position where we too are hankering for service to Krishna in Vrindavan, as the residents of Vrindavan are experiencing that happiness of loving Krishna, as the residents of Vrindavan are loving Krishna, and Krishna is loving them. It's a very wonderful festival. And as I mentioned, it's taking place all over the world. Our respect goes to our founder Acharya, who had that impression from his childhood of attending Jagannath Rath Yatra as a small boy, his father nurturing that devotion in him by making arrangements for in his little village, in their neighborhood in Calcutta, to arrange a Jagannath Rath Yatra festival. And being the great acharya that he was, Prabhupada wanted to give this to the world. And so here we are. And that's Akibo Gayan experiencing and celebrating Jagannath Rath Yatra. At least, minimally, hearing the holy name and honoring Krishna or Jagannath Prasad. But more deeply, being given the opportunity, invited into this very, very special kind of loving attraction between Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan. From our side, in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, and from Lord Jagannath's side, inviting us to come and join him in that same mood as the residents of Vrindavan are in. So, thank you all for coming. And we thank our founder, Acharya, especially for making this event something that all the centers, major centers, all over the world take part in. This, because Paramatma mentioned it, I'll just comment. Even in China, where Hinduism is not one of the five recognized religions in China, like it's against the law, they still have their little miniature Rath Yatra. The one city they conducted a Rath Yatra. It was very bold. I don't know how the devotees dressed, but they took Lord Jagannath on a palanquin, not a cart, and carried him and had kirtan through the public street and invited many guests to take part in prasadam distribution. So even in China. So here where there's no government restriction, next year invite more people to come for Jagannath Rath Yatra, and you also come again. Thank you very much.